Okay, on the top, it's page Tzadik Vav. Okay. At the bottom, it's 377. Okay. We're going to start the middle of the page. Okay. Okay, last thing, Dr. Rebbe is trying to, Dr. Rebbe is explaining, we're trying to understand what he says. Dr. Rebbe is explaining, remember he asked the question, why do people, and the top is Tzadik Vav, okay, at the bottom 377. Dr. Rebbe asked the question, why are people that seemingly did the Aveir of Karis, they should die before 50 or 60, and yet they're living ripe, old, beautiful, wonderful, unbelievable ages. Okay, so the Alter Rebbe started explaining the life of the Jew. Hashem blew into the neshama, into us. This is the direct line from Hashem to the Jew. But when you sin, you block the blowing, right? You put a wall, so therefore the life doesn't go. So therefore, when a person, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, one people live from Kedusha, and they live from holiness, and now you sinned, those sins that you blocked the holiness from being blown into you, so eventually you die before 50 or 60. Now Dr. Rebbe starts explaining, but nowadays we don't live anyway from Kedusha. We only live from Kedusha when we do a mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, like Dr. Rebbe says later on in Tanya, when a hand takes money and puts it into the pushka, at that moment you're living from Chesed of Atzilus. You're getting your lifeline from the ultimate level of Kedusha. But we don't live only from Kedusha. We live from our animal soul. Okay, so he says like this. The person, now he's going to explain, the person has the free choice, a little bit right below midway on the page. And therefore the person, the Jew, has the free choice. In other words, if you do an Aveda, you live from evil. You do a mitzvah, you live from Kedusha. Nowadays. Therefore, the person has free choice. Im lekabel hashpa'osei, whether he should receive his sustenance mehecholus hasiter achra, from the chambers of evil, or mehecholus hakedusha, from the chambers of holiness, shemehem nishpoes kol machshavas teves hakedusha, that come all the thoughts, speech, and action of holiness. So the Alter Rebbe says like this, the person now has the choice, do I want to live from holiness, or do I want to live from evil? If I think holy, I live from holy. I think evil, I live from evil. And we're jumping back and forth, by the way. One minute we're living from evil, one minute we're living from Kedusha, and it's all mixed up. But Alter Rebbe is bringing out the point. If we're living from evil anyway, so even though you sin, you're anyway not living from Kedusha. So just like you're living from evil with the sin, without the sin, you can just continue living. When they lived only from holiness, and they sinned, and they blocked the level of Kedusha, of the blowing, then they're going to die. But nowadays, it doesn't apply. But Alter Rebbe is saying a remarkable concept that a person needs to keep in mind, Alter Rebbe says, I have the choice whether I want to live this moment from holiness or this moment from evil. I do a mitzvah, I live from holiness. Because Hashem made good and evil opposite each other. And the choice is ours. What's life all about? Hashem, as the Pasuk says, Hashem says, I'm putting in front of you life and death, good and bad. Choose life. So the obvious question is, all the Mefarshim, which moron is going to choose death? But the answer is, Chassidus explains, we're not talking about physical life and death. We're talking about spiritual life and death. A person could choose to sin, which is choosing death, and Hashem says, I am giving you the request, and Chassidus explains, not only is Hashem telling us to, but that itself gives us the ability that we could choose life. And that's why every person could be a Beinoni. A Beinoni is behavior in thought, speech, and action. That's what a Beinoni is. That means every Jew has the ability to control their thoughts, speech, and action. That's what they're able to do. And he says the person is the choice to have that, has the choice. Yeah. Life ain't easy.
Not such a easy, like, it's not so easy.
Why isn't it easy? Because evil is in front of our eyes and Kedusha is in the books.
It's just not easy. Even if you do something good, you have to be focused and you have to, that's so hard to do it the right way.
But a little bit of light dispels a lot of darkness, pushes away a lot of darkness.
So we are not living from Kedusha. We are living from evil, right?
Yeah. We're basically living from evil.
We live from evil, but we have every time we do a mitzvah, we get a little bit of Kedusha?
No, at that moment you're living only from Kedusha. Uh-huh. You can get Tanya's over there if you want.
But
you don't know, I know you haven't been here for a long, the class is from 8 to 9. Okay, so whatever. What?
377.
So,
in other words, like this, the pasuk says.
Sometimes we don't live from kedusha, like you said, right? These are people who don't die young.
We don't generally live from kedusha, but at the moment you do a mitzvah, at that moment you're living from kedusha only.
Only a moment.
Well, as long as but Alter Rebbe says later. I mean, earlier in Tanya Perek Chafei, he says that yichud zalemaylo nitzchi leilam void, and this is another thing people need to understand. I say, a man puts on tefillin, okay? So he davens for half an hour. Okay. So he's doing a mitzvah for half an hour. A woman lights candles. Yeah, she benches licht. It takes 30 seconds, right? Okay. It doesn't mean, Alter Rebbe says, that this connection now that you have with Hashem is for 30 minutes or for 30 seconds. Why? Because yichud zeh lemailo nitzchi le'olam void, Alter Rebbe uses the expression, meaning Hashem is above time. If I connect myself to Hashem at 4:51 when I light candles, that connection with Hashem, because Hashem is above time and place, is permanent. It's not for that 30 seconds or for the half an hour that a man puts on tefillin or a woman davens or whatever it may be. When you do a mitzvah, the mitzvah takes 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, but the connection with Hashem, because Hashem is above time and place, is a permanent connection. Evil has no permanency to it. Number one. Number two, there's a pasuk, Tzefer Asher Latzadik Mavakish Lamitzu, okay, Vashem Layazvenu Biyadik. The Gemara explains like this. The Rasha, David HaMelech says, until him, the Rasha looks out to the Tzadik and wants to kill him, is what he says. And if Hashem wouldn't help him, he would never be able to overcome the Rasha. Okay? Meaning, what does it mean? It doesn't mean physically a Rasha wants to kill the Tzaddik. The Yetzer Hara wants to kill the Yetzer Tov. The Nefesh HaBamis wants to kill the Nefesh HaLikis. Now, animals are stronger than people. Okay, if you're having a fight with a lion, your chances of winning are minimal.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. You know, say with your bare hands, it's minimal. Now, animals are stronger than Nefesh HaBamis is called a shard. The source of the Nefesh HaBamis of the Jew comes from the shard, the ox that's on God's throne up there. Okay, so Nefesh HaBamis is a behemoth, an ox. Okay, an ox is much stronger than a person.
Yeah.
Bottom line. So therefore, the Nefesh HaBamis, the Yetzer Hara, really wants to kill the person spiritually. Hashem helps the person. When Hashem sees that you try, Hashem gives you the ability to overcome even the strength and the power of this ox, which is stronger than the person. The Nefesh HaLikis is like a person. The Yet Nefesh HaBamis is like an ox. An ox is stronger. And as the Baditshever said, the famous saying of the Rebbe Levi Yitzchak Baditshev, he once complained to God, he said, you know, you're really not fair. All the temptations of the world you put in front of our eyes. Gan Eden, you put in the books. How do we know about Gan Eden? You read about it in the books. He said, put Gan Eden in front of our eyes and put the temptations in the books, we'd be much better. Now, why doesn't Hashem do it? Because then it would be worthless. If it would be easy, easy come, easy go. Worthless.
Okay.
Hashem wants and to make our life difficult, believe it or not. And the more difficult it is, the more God has trust in us, by the way. It's a true statement. Torah says this, the Rebbe Sichas is full of this, Chassidus says it, everybody says this. A test, meaning why it's so difficult, like you're saying, even if you do a little bit of good, you have to focus, and it's really tough. Because Hashem says, you could do it. And then because it's tough, the reward is much greater.
Because it's so tough, it's so hard to do it, you don't do it the right way anyway, so there's no reward there.
Why do we say you don't do it the right way?
Because I know, I mean...
You do it the right way? Yeah. You bench licht. You put on tefillin, a person puts on tefillin. Well, why is it not the right way?
Maybe you could have done slower.
I don't know. She's saying
that's not the action of the mitzvah.
It isn't?
No.
But we can just fly through.
The fact that it's difficult means Hashem trusts us, and He has trust in us that you, I, whoever He gives this difficulty to, you have the ability to do it even though it's tough. Other people I don't trust, Hashem says, you I trust. Yeah, it's easier said than done. We all know that. But the bottom line is, that's reality. What?
But if we're run by evil, how long, and you're saying it stays, I'm wondering the time frame.
The evil that we're run by is not total evil. It's klipas neged that has neutral evil that has good in it. So therefore, it's not total evil that we can't have any control to elevate. It's neutral evil. So it's not total evil. It's evil that we can work with and elevate. So the person, see, the Alter Rebbe says, the person has a free choice to live from Kedusha, to live from evil. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they lived from Kedusha, and therefore if they did an Aved of Kodesh, they got Kodesh, they died young. Nowadays we live from evil anyway, but the Alter Rebbe still says, nevertheless, when a Jew does a mitzvah, at the moment they're doing a mitzvah, they're actually living from Kedusha. And he says even more, even evil really exists from Kedusha. And very simply put, everything comes from Hashem, that's for sure. Right? Well, who sustains everything in the world? Hashem. Which means evil in the world is sustained by Hashem. Why isn't it Kedusha if it's sustained from Hashem? So he says, Ve'ichos ha-sitr achra, the chambers of evil, mekablam ve'yenken chayusam, they receive and they nourish their life, mi'eslabshus v'ishtalshus ha-shefa d'yitzviris d'nega, from the 10 attributes of nega, I'll explain in a second, that have tevera, which is the eitz das tevera, k'neida li'edechein, meaning like this. There is a system, the way holiness comes into evil. You can't just have holiness coming into evil. Because then evil would be non-existent. If evil feels Kedusha, then it's nullified to Kedusha, then it doesn't feel itself. The way Hashem made the chain of the worlds coming down, right? It comes lower, 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 lower. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then it comes into a level of evil, which is neutral evil, that has good in it. Okay. So it starts off with Kedusha. Then when it keeps coming down, 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 it goes into a level of evil that has a little bit of Kedusha in it. And from there, it goes to total evil. But even the total evil, the origin of sustenance of total evil, still comes from Hashem and Kedusha. It's just Hashem covered over, and covered, and covered, and covered, and covered. And then it's neutral evil, which is good and bad a little bit. And then it goes into complete evil. So even evil really is sustaining from Kedusha. But a person, if they want, can sustain themselves totally from Kedusha. You do a mitzvah, at that moment you're doing a mitzvah, your lifeline is only from Kedusha. And it's up to us, the Alter Rebbe says, we have the choice where we want to live. Where we want to live, how we want to live, it's all up to us. Okay, so he says now like this. Vine, six times in the bottom. Vine Yaakov chavanachlosik siv. The pasuk says that Yaakov the Yidden are the rope of Hashem's inheritance. Now, why is it using again the marshal, the analogy of a rope? Kamei hachevel derech marshal. Kamei hachevel, just like a rope. Shereishi echad lamaila, one of it, one side is up on top. Vereishi hasheni lamato, and the other side is tied down here, right? Im yamshach adam vereishi hasheni, if you pull down the rope from down here, not only is the bottom part of the rope going to go down, whatever is connected to the top part of the rope is also going to go down. Yenaneh v'yamshich achrav gam reishi harishon kama she'ef shalei lahamshich. As much as you're able to schlep down, again, what's the analogy? The neshama is the rope of Hashem's inheritance. Remember, we learned the rope composed of 600 strands, and that's Hashem blowing the lifeline into us through this rope, and therefore you can cut the rope and all that. But he says, but there's another aspect of the rope, and that is when you pull down the bottom of the rope, everything on top comes down with it. Which means when a Jew goes down into evil, they drag Kaviyachol Hashem into evil with them, because Hashem is the other side of the rope. Yaakov is the rope of Hashem's inheritance. So Hashem's tied in one end, the Jew is tied on the other end, the Jew goes down, everybody goes down, including Hashem goes down with him. Which
doesn't sound very good.
Sounds great.
Hashem goes down with each one of us, all of us doing sin.
Power of a person. Not a person. Power of a Jew.
So he goes up, so.
We can make him go up, we can pull him up, and we can pull him down. We have no understanding, you can't imagine, what power, who calls the shots upstairs?
He does.
We do. No. Hashem doesn't call the shots. We call the shots, what goes on up there.
Really?
Yep. I didn't make it up, by the way.
Okay.
There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem is your shadow. Okay? It also means Hashem is your salvation, but Tzel is the shadow. Mm-hmm. You go where your shadow goes, or the shadow goes where you go?
Follows.
Shadow follows you. If we're saying Hashem is your shadow, wow, who follows whom? Hashem is following us. Correct? Okay. Then there's a Mishnah that says you have to meditate upon three things and you'll never come to sin. And one of them, da malamayla mimach. You should know what's above you. An ear that hears and an eye that sees and everything. And pick up this, right? So the Maggid said, da, you should know, malamayla, whatever goes on upstairs is mimach from you. Simply means know what's above you. He said, you should know what's above is from you. You call the shots.
Wow.
We want to make Hashem stronger, Kaviyachol. Mm-hmm. And let me clarify one thing very important. This is so because Hashem wants it that way. It's not that we have any influence in God either way. Mm-hmm. Hashem said, Yidden have the ability to make me or break me. We say in davening every day, "Tenu oiz le'etzim tilim, tenu oiz le'elokim," give strength to God. How do you give strength to God? When we do mitzvahs, we strengthen God. Or as in the long letter of the stolen letter that the Friedrich Rebbe wrote to the Rebbe Simcha Yemushka, in the story of the potash, and he went to see him, and he said to him, finally, when he got this guy who didn't speak, this hermit that didn't speak, and whatever, and he said, the Jews sustained themselves from Hashem. He asked this guy the question. How does God sustain himself? So this guy was shocked. He never heard such language before. So he, the chassid of the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov said, Va'atar Kodesh, Yeshiv Tilis Yisrael. We say it, it's a pasuk, but we say it in davening, in Ovalatzin. Va'atar Kodesh, Mitzvah Shabbos too. Va'atar Kodesh, he said, you Holy One, Yeshev, what do you sit on? What causes you to sit and sustain yourself? Tehillas Yisrael, the praises of the Jews. We are the ones that call all the shots. You want more revelation? We do it. You want less revelation? We do it. This is the power of the Jew that we have, that we call the shots of what God does. Why? Because he wants it that way. He set it up that way. Not because it has to be that way. We're nothing. Hashem said, guys, Jews, men and women, whatever you do, you call the shots. The Rebbe took it a step even deeper than that. It's also in Pirkei Avos. It says, there's always an expression, before whom do you have to give a judgment and a reckoning? That's a din v'cheshbon. It's called a duch. And even today, everybody says, give a din v'cheshbon. Give an accounting what's going on. Yeah? But din means judgment, and cheshbon means a reckoning. Now, what do you do first? The judgment or the reckoning? Normally, you do the reckoning first. Right? So why is the expression din v'cheshbon? It should be cheshbon v'din. Lefnei mi'ata asad li'tein cheshbon. But then, before whom you can ever give reckoning, and Hashem make the judgment. Okay, so the Baal Shem Tov explains, based on another Mishnah. Another Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, says that Hashem punishes the person knowingly, midaitei v'shalei midaitei. Hashem punishes the person with the person knowing about it, or the person not knowing about it. So the Baal Shem Tov said, what does that Mishnah mean? It's remarkable stuff. When you think about it, it's mind-blowing. When a person dies after 120 years and they come up to heaven, to court, to heavenly court, yeah? You know what? If you're going for the weather, go to Gan Eden. If you're going for the company, go to the other place. That's where all the company is. There's better food in Gan Eden because Hashem doesn't cook for a few people in Gan Eden. There's nobody to cook for. Yeah. Anyway, so it sounds like this. When a person comes up after 120 years, a person comes up after 120 years, Hashem doesn't say to the person, Vaychik, you did A, B, C, D, A, that's it, you know where you're going. Hashem doesn't do that. A neshama comes up to heaven, Hashem says to the neshama, you know what, I need your help. I have a court case. I would like you to sit in and give me advice. So the neshama gets all excited. He goes into Hashem's courtroom, and there's a neshama there. And they're going through the reckonings, yeah? He did A, B, C, D, E, F, G, terrible things, terrible things. Hashem turns to this new neshama that came up and says, "Nu, what do you think?" The guy says, "Guilty as charged." Then God turns to the neshama and says, "Guess what? This was your life that you just ruled on. That you just ruled on." So the person makes, therefore the Rebbe explains, first is the din. The person proclaims the judgment, and then God makes the reckoning that it's really you. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. The Rebbe explains, and this the Rebbe adds to it, which is unbelievable. Why does it have to be that way? Why can't God play games? The neshama comes upstairs. God should make a ruling what the neshama is. You have to play games, a court case, and this, and the neshama has to judge, and the neshama says, and this. So the Rebbe said many times by Sichas, because the only thing that has an ability to rule on a Jew is the Jew himself. Not God, not his court, not the angels, nobody but the Jew. Again, because God set it up that way. But Hashem set it up in a way that the only one that has the ability to rule on a Jewish neshama, if he's going to one way, Gan Eden or the other place, is only the Jew himself. So not only do we have the ability to call the shots, how much Hashem reveals, it's self-understood, it's very simple. You do a mitzvah, you reveal godliness in the world. You don't do, it doesn't happen. You do an aveda, you conceal godliness, right? Now, don't you think Hashem would like to reveal himself?
Yes.
So why doesn't he just do it? Because God can't do it. Hashem said it's up to us. Hashem set it up. You guys are the ones that make me revealed. I want to be revealed. So therefore, when you do what I ask you to do, you're revealing me. And when you don't do what I want you to do, you sin, meaning you sin, then you're not revealing me. Correct? You're concealing me. Only the Jew has that power to make it or to break it. Whether God is revealed more in the world or less in the world or hidden in the world is only us. We say in that, why are we driven out of the land? Because of our sins. Nothing but our sins, our actions, can destroy everything. And therefore we call the shots. When Hashem is revealed, we call the shots. Whether Hashem, God forbid, is not hidden and concealed, we call the shots. Whether ruling on a neshama, where a neshama ends up, Gehenim or Gan Eden, is only the Jew can make it, has the power. Nobody else has the power to do that, the Rebbe says. Not Kaviyochel Hashem himself, and definitely not his Bezdim, meaning the angels, whatever, whoever they are over there in that court. Nobody can do it except...
It's just a setup.
Huh?
It's just a setup.
What do you mean a setup?
Hashem sets us up when we come over there, and because the Neshama doesn't even know what to say, so we just say what comes to her mind. The person cannot prepare himself. No, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to be very careful, and I'm going to judge myself. Right? It's a setup.
They say there were certain tzaddikim that passed away, and before they passed away, they said, when I go up to heaven, I'm not going to stop until Mashiach comes. So what did they tell about different tzaddikim? Hashem gave an Abin Yeshmer Abba, he got all lost, he jumped into Ghana, you know what I mean?
It's a whole setup.
For the world of truth, there's sure a lot of deception.
It's not the world, no, that's what Rebbe is explaining. The Neshama is ruling about, it's not deception. When we think we deceive ourselves, but over there in Elam HaEmes, the Neshama makes a ruling. It's not deception. Over there is Elam HaEmes. Here's deception.
Yeah.
Here we think we're better than we are.
Yep.
You know, Chabad doesn't make eulogies by weddings. By weddings. By weddings they do. We don't make eulogies by funerals. Okay. Why doesn't Chabad make eulogies by funerals? So one of the reasons... Well, and Rebbe was fanatic about it, not to. One of the reasons why we don't make eulogies at funerals, because it says in Sfarim, if at a funeral you praise the person more than they really were, is detrimental to the neshama. Why? Because Bezdin, over there is the world of truth, right? Up there is truth. They say to the neshama that comes upstairs, look how many people you fooled. We know the truth, what you really were. And they're saying such great things about you that are not true. That means, in addition to the fact that you weren't good,
yeah,
you deceived all those people, you're going to be more punished for deception. Therefore, in our circles, we don't do eulogies because, besides the fact, if the guy or the woman in the box would be able to get up, they would say, get up and be quiet and just let me go. Bury me already. Okay.